good that will stay. Small print, King James. I haven't read King James. NIV or NLT or whatever, or Message is easier to read for me. I just put it that way. Let's go to the Lord. Father, it's not going to be me teaching tonight. It's going to be you, all you, all the Spirit. Father, I thank you. Father, I just ask that the words that you give me now will be real on time and that they will flow out to every person here, Father, every one of your children here, Father. And Father, I pray that each one of us will have our ears open, our minds open, our hearts open, our souls open to just be flooded with what you want us to hear and teach us. And Father, we each one would give you the praise for it. In your holy name, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Psalms 100. There's not a better place to go at last minute than Psalms 100. it's wonderful. Now, I've done this one time before in a Sunday school class. What happened was the pastor was supposed to get in touch with me to substitute. He forgot. So I'm sitting in Sunday school class, and he's looking at me and saying, okay, Chester, it's all yours. Fortunately, it was a wonderful day to do it. It was Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And I picked the book of Ruth for that. And the Spirit just flowed through, and it worked great. But Psalms 100 is small, but it's powerful. Just like a little bit of nitroglycerin. Small, but powerful. Shake it up a little bit and you get a big explosion. So shake this psalm up in your life and let it explode. Let it explode in you, okay? And it reads, shout to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with joy. Come before him with singing. Know that the Lord is God. Know, okay? He made us, and we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep he tends. Come into his city, his temple, his house, with songs of thanksgiving. Come into his courtyards with songs of praise. Thank him. Praise his name. The Lord is good. His love continues forever. His loyalty continues from now on. Did you hear all the action in this? That's why I said it like a little bit of nitroglycerin. Powerful. So, verse 1, shout. Now, how many of us can shout? If you can shout, raise your hand. How many of us will shout to the Lord?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. How many will shout to the Lord as loud as you shout at a football game?
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. All of us don't do that, though. Honestly, okay, we don't all do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, really, if you think about it. Sometimes a shout doesn't necessarily come from the mouth as much as it comes from the heart. Okay. Sometimes a shout comes from the heart, because there are times in our lives when we cannot mouth out what we want to say or what our heart is feeling or what is deep within our soul.
Amen.
But yet, the Spirit takes it. What we have in our heart to say or shout, He takes it and presents it to the Lord in His way. So it does become a shout. We may not hear it audibly, which is okay. Serve the Lord with joy. Now, let me ask a question. Is it possible that you maybe have a frown on your face but still have joy in your life?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right. So, you know, you don't have to always walk around with the big grin on your face, okay? Such as, you know, Joker went had a bad problem. He got some facial muscles locked in where he has a big old grin on his face. Now, I don't think there's any joy, if you will, in that character, okay? So you can be misled sometimes by a facial expression of someone. And, you know, let's be honest here. We can sometimes mislead someone else with our facial expressions. Okay? Now, as a Christian, I believe that we have joy all the time. Joy abides within us. Okay? Because me, joy is Christ. Okay? Just like Paul said, you know, to live is Christ. To die is gain, but to live is Christ. And to me, joy is Christ. So as a Christian, if we are indwelled with the Spirit, we're indwelled with Christ, we are with Christ, then we do have joy. Now, yes, we do not may not always be able to express it in our facial expressions, or maybe sometimes in our tone of voice, or what we speak, or how we feel. Again, I mentioned this before, feelings can mislead you very easily. Okay, so be very careful about following feelings. Okay, discern those feelings. Just like you discern teaching, discern your feelings. Okay, discern them. Now, serve the Lord with joy. Serve. Okay, now, obviously there's a lot of ways to serve. And we think of the big ones, right? Preaching, teaching, outreaching, witnessing, helps. Let's stop at helps for a minute. Help is a really, really broad term to describe serving the Lord. It's very broad. Helps may be nothing more than picking up a piece of paper that you see on the floor, if you will. Or if somebody drops something, picking it up for them. Okay? So, you know, be conscious. Be conscious that what you are doing can be a help, and allow it to be come out of you with joy. Okay? And remember who you're helping, who you're serving in this whole thing, okay? You're not serving yourself. You may pick up something that somebody's dropped and you're helping them, but you're serving the one who loves you most.
Yes.
That's who you're serving.
Amen.
Okay? So keep that in mind. Keep that in mind. And come before him with singing. Come before him. Him being Christ.
Yes.
Okay? Or our Father in heaven. Okay? Come before him. Now, did you see the word come? Does that mean that you're sitting in a chair and you can't come? No, it doesn't. It means that maybe you're sitting in your car and you're not going to be able to get out and drive the car and walk along at the same time. At least, I haven't seen many people capable of doing that. I wouldn't want to try it necessarily, although I have thought about it. But come before him. Come, you know, that connotates, if you will, entering into the presence of someone that's higher than you. Come before him. Okay? And we know that Christ is above all.
Yes.
He is above us, but he loves us. He ministers to us. Yes. He intercedes for us.
Yes.
He takes care of us.
Yes.
He dwells within us,
yes.
But yet he's above us.
Yes.
And we can come before him with singing. Now, did it say come before him with singing in the right notes? Or with the correct beat or timing? No, it said come before him with singing. Now, what does that mean? That means that somewhere in our life, there has to be something that has happened or something in us that we have a reason to want to sing to him, to bring him, come before him. Think about that. Most of the time, if you come before some type of earthly ruler, if you will, most of the time, there's some type of gift or something you're giving Okay? And God says, Jesus says, come before me and bring me your gift, in this case, of song. And you know what's great? You know what's great about a Christian? We have a song that the angels can't sing. They don't know it. Excuse me. They don't understand. They cannot understand and know the freedom, the thrill, the joy, the release of being freed from our sins is. They can't know that. So we have that song that we can bring to our Lord. Come before Him. And as you do that, the next part of that verse, or next verse is, know that the Lord is God. Know. And in that knowledge, we know that He made us and we belong to Him. We are His people, the sheep He tends. Have you ever just sat down for a moment and contemplated, thought, whatever word you want to use there, about what is my personal relationship to my Jesus? What is it? Who am I to Him and who is He to me? You know, we get busy with a lot of things as a Christian. Serving, worshiping, praising, studying, teaching, helping. But sometimes we need to stop and step into a little cave and listen for that small, still voice and contemplate with God, with Jesus, who He is to us and who we are to Him. It helps us. It helps us to get back into a track that maybe we've slipped out of, or to get out of a rut that we've dug into ourselves. So take those opportunities. Know that the Lord is God. Contemplate the fact that He made us. We didn't make each other. And we didn't make Him. Mm-hmm. He made us. And in making us, He has ownership of us. Now, when you paint, Pastor Sharon, when you paint a picture, it is a picture that you created, and you have ownership of that picture. Right? Okay. Or for anyone who came to her class and went through the teaching and painted your own picture, you created your own picture. Okay. And that picture belongs to you. And as you have ownership of that picture, if you will, your decision of what happens to that picture, you decide. The picture doesn't tell you that you drew. Okay. Now, we want to sometimes say, God, I want to be equal with You on this thing. We'll work it out together, okay? Or we may take one step further than that. God, I've already decided this, so I want You to be below me, and I want You just to back me up on it, okay? Now, if God has led us in that decision already, then we're not really putting Him below us in that case. We are responding to His directness, prompting us on it, okay. But sometimes we take the thought process and says, oh, I'm going to side this, and God, You're going to back me up. I know You are. You got my back on this, no question. And God says, wait a minute. I created you. You belong to me, okay. Now, I'm dwelling within you, and you do have me within you, but you still belong to me, okay. And we are His people, the sheep He tends. Get that. Not the sheep that He has tended, sheep that He will tend, the sheep that He tends. Anybody know anything about sheep? Do they need much looking after? constantly, right? Do you like to be compared to sheep that needs to constantly be looked after? That constantly needs that rod or that staff to the rod is used as protection, the staff is used to guide you. Okay, but that's what David is saying here. He's looking back in his life and saying, as a shepherd, you know, I understand tending sheep. And I thank my God who created me that he tends me as his sheep. Wow, he is my sheep. I belong to him. There ain't nothing going to happen that's outside of his knowledge, his control, his will, his purpose. Okay? It's all in him. He has it all. Ooh. Ooh. Then David goes in and in this verse he says, come into his city with songs of thanksgiving. Come into his courtyards with songs of praise. Thank him and praise his name. David just got to look in here. Shout to the Lord. He says, you know, serve the Lord with joy. Come before him with singing. Look at that the Lord made me. I am his. I belong to him. He can tend me, take care of me. And, you know, as a result of that, I have no need to do anything but to offer thanksgiving to the Lord, if you will. Okay, and these thoughts here. Now, as a Christian, we have other things that we are held accountable for, you know, that we are doing, that we should do. But here, at this point where David is just, he's contemplated himself and his relationship with his God. Okay? And he says, you know, in that relationship, I can enter into his house where he dwells. Of course, he dwells everywhere. God dwells everywhere, right? Omnipresent. Okay? So everywhere I enter in, I can be entering into God's house. And when I do that, I can come in with praises.
Yes.
I can come in with thanksgiving. I can do it with songs. Again, a song could be verbally sounded, could be from the heart, okay? It could be spoken. Remember that. Sometimes songs can be spoken. They don't have to be sung.
That's right.
Okay? They can be spoken. As a matter of fact, some scholars believe that the angels, if you look at Revelation where there's what sounds like singing going on, it's not really necessary. Some scholars, biblical scholars, believe that's more speaking than it is singing that's occurring there. Okay? But whether you sing, whether you speak it, whether you sign it, think about this. Maybe someone cannot speak, but they can sign unto the Lord praises. We sometimes I can't talk if my hands are not moving. Okay, so we also may be signing unto the Lord our praises. Come into his city with songs. Of course, David here is thinking his city is city of Jerusalem, right? For the temple. Okay. But we as Christians know that God is omnipresent. And again, I say, wherever we are, God is there.
Yes.
And wherever God is, we can praise.
Mm-hmm.
And we can give thanks.
Yes.
Now, the situation may not look so bright. Okay? Maybe you're sitting in a doctor's office and you just gotten some kind of word from a doctor, and it's not a very bright word. But you're still in the presence of a holy God as a Christian. You're still in his presence. And you can still give praise and thanksgiving to God. Not thanksgiving for what's happened or what the doctor says may happen, okay? But thanksgiving to God that you know that he is Lord and God, and that he made you, and that you belong to him. And that he tends you. You know, doctor, or maybe you've gotten some great word. Maybe you won the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes and you're going to get $5,000 a week for life. You're still in the presence of the one who made you and who tends you, right? And you can still give thanks and praise to God. So sometimes we kind of get confused and think that, you know, the praising and thanking of God is when negativism's in our life, okay? And sometimes we kind of let it slip to the side when positivism's coming. I don't know if that's a word or not, but I made it up. Positivism, when things positive come into our lives, we may let it slip and not think about doing the praise. And then David finishes this. He says, "The Lord is good. The Lord is good." Now, why? Why would we say the Lord is good? He is. Yeah, and the Bible says it. But personally, like I said before, sometimes you want to sit down and contemplate with the Lord who you are, who He is to in you, and who you are to Him. And as you have in that time of contemplation, that time of oneness, that time of quietness with the Lord, maybe you want to think about, why is the Lord good to me? I mean, the scripture here says the Lord is good. Well, let's say David, this is David. David is sharing this from his heart. So, you know, I think you could say the Lord is good to me.
Yes.
So you want to say, why is the Lord good? You know, and sometimes we don't think about that. Let's be honest. Sometimes we need to believe what the scripture says, no doubt about that. But sometimes we need to stop and think about, why is the Lord good to me? Count your blessings every day.
Right.
Count that one by one. Okay? And sometimes we don't do that. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we miss it. And when we miss it, then we miss out on the opportunity to realize who God is with us, to us, and who we are to Him. We miss that. We really do. And, you know, when things are going, when you won Publishers Clearinghouse, I mean, that's pretty easy. Yeah, God is really good. He's great to me. Okay? But when you have a financial setback, then you have to wonder. Let's say our minds work that way. We don't want to be that way, but our minds work that way. We wonder. We have a question, okay? And those times of contemplation, those times of quiet times with the Lord is the best times to get those questions out in the open with Him. He knows them anyway. But we can ask, so God, why do I say you are good to me? And you start rattling off. And you tell God, thank you for this, thank you for that, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. How many times are you disappointed when somebody says thank you to you? You're not disappointed, are you? How many times has someone said thank you to you and it actually brightened your day? I mean, God's day is always bright, okay? But there's a, I don't want to say sense, but there is a, I'm not sure what the word is to use here, but when God hears thank you for one of His children, it just has to make His heart jump one more time. It has to make His heart jump one more time. Because when we say thank you, God, we've done two things. We've done three things, I guess. First of all, we've given thanks to God for what it is, okay? Or who He is in it, okay? It may not be something that we want to receive, but we thank Him for who He is in it, okay? Another thing we've done is we've realized who our Creator is.
Yeah.
We have put God in the position in our lives that he should be in. And thirdly, we realize who we are to him. We are his children. We are the ones that can go to him at any time, all the time. Okay. And then David says, his love continues forever to me. Again, personalized. His love continues forever to me. Now, have you ever had a situation where maybe you didn't feel as much love for someone that then at one time than you're used to it another time? I'm trying to be careful on how I say this, okay? Because I don't want to get myself in trouble. But we as humans, as God's creation, even as God's children, there are times in our lives where maybe our love falters for someone. Maybe it weakens for someone. Maybe it weakens for God. But David says, God's love never falters. It never weakens. There's never a place where it is not sufficient, where it needs to be for us. It's always there. And it continues. You know, sometimes I think, you know, when I get to heaven, you know, it's going to be somewhat different from here. But even as we as God's children reach that promised land, if you will, reach heaven, God's love still continues the same then. It never falters. It never fails. I think there's a song that has that in there. And then look at the last part of that verse. He says, his loyalty continues from now on. His loyalty. Now, our loyalty can weaken. How many divorces do we have sometimes? I mean, how many breakups? How many family disasters do we have? Okay. How many work problems do we have where loyalty between two people falter or fails? But God's loyalty continues from now on, to me. As a child of God, I have an assurance in my life that God will never fail me.
Amen.
He has put his assurance in my life by filling me with his Spirit.
Yes.
And in the New Testament, we read, I'm not sure where it is, but his love never fails. He will never remove the Spirit from a child. His Holy Spirit will never be taken away.
Amen.
We are in his hands.
Yes.
As a children, we are in his hands. Now, sometimes we try to squirm around because we don't like that tightness, if you will. Sometimes we want to do our own little thing or whatever. But we are still in his hands. His loyalty to us continues. His promises, every promise that is for us in this word, his word, will never fail. It will be fulfilled. Some promises are fulfilled more than once. Okay? In an individual's life. And David says, continues from now on. Again, even, you know, even though even though I may walk away from Christ, I may go down a path that's not where Christ is walking, okay? Christ never leaves the correct path. He never leaves the right path. Okay, for my life, he never leaves it. Now, I might go off on some rabbit trails.
Oh,
Or it's probably not even rabbit trails. It's probably bushes and briars and thorns. It's really what it's into, okay? And finally realize that I'm out here in the sticks and I'm hurting because I walked through this briar patch and all this garbage stuff, okay? Uh-huh. His loyalty doesn't leave me then. He will call me back. And as I move back to him, then he will reach out to me and bring me back into the path. Yeah. His path he has for me. Yeah. And then we'll continue walking that path together. Okay. Amen. Hope you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you can lose Christ or you can be separated from Christ. A separation there. What I'm trying to say is that we sometimes make choices that take us in a place where we're not supposed to be.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
But we can turn around from that place and come back and Christ is there. He hasn't left.
Right.
He's waiting for us. He's still there. Okay. His loyalty. He's still loyal to us. Okay. He is still our shepherd tending us. Okay. That staff has reached out there real far and got us real good and said, come on back here.
Okay.
Okay. So. So think about this. You know, this is David's word. He talks about how we can relay ourselves to Christ. Okay? We can verbally shout. We can serve with joy. Okay? We can sing to him. We can know. We can know without a doubt that he is our creator and we belong to him. And he is our shepherd. And he's tending us. Okay. And sometimes that's easier to know because that staff, we know it. We feel it. And we can give him thanks wherever we are because we are his children. And he's omnipresent and he's with us. Okay. Another little thing here that to me is the Holy Spirit dwells within me. This is just my thought. I'm going to share it with you. Okay. I believe the scripture does teach. I can't give you a verse on it, okay? But every place where I step becomes holy ground because the Holy Spirit is indwelling within me. Okay? And we know that he is good to us. We know that from the cross. And we know that from every other event, all other events in our life that have brought us to a place that's closer and more with him and like him. And we know that his love continues. He will never quit loving us. And we know that he will always keep his promises. He will be loyal to us because he's loyal to himself.
Amen.
Okay. All right. That's all.